Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Derrick, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are closing out our studies on the model prayer which our Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples as an outline of prayer. We need it because we do pray for the Lord, and it's just a complete outline in itself. And once again, we're going to just repeat this choice portion of Scripture, our theme portion of Scripture. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And today, with the help of the Lord, we're going to zero in on the last of this study, the person who prays this prayer is going to be a person given to worship. And we can see that inherent in the words of the text. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It has been well said that when we cease to wonder, we cease to worship. When we cease to wonder, we cease to worship. And certainly this prayer that he gave his disciples will cause us to wonder. Wonder at the King. Wonder at his character. Wonder at his power. Wonder at his glory. And we're going to talk about the King that's going to reign in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King himself. We're going to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to read a little there about the very first mentions of this king to King David. We read in verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 7, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said unto the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house to dwell in? Build me a house? Solomon was correct when he said, The earth and the heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I built. And David was going to build a house. And God made David feel very, very, very small for this patronizing attitude that he had. He was going to build the Lord a house. Now, further down in this chapter, we read there verse 11, "And since the time that I commanded kings, judges, rather to be over my people, and have caused thee to rest from all of thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house." Verse 13, "He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now this is a direct prophecy given to David in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. "I will be his father, and he shall be my son," and so forth. And then in verse 16, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." When the angel appeared to the Virgin Mary to announce her part in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read there in verse 30 of Luke chapter 1, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This is the one that God promised to David in that 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now we're going to talk about the character of the king. In Psalm 45, we have the most wonderful psalm concerning the glories of this coming king. We read there, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things." Now we're going to see the character of this king who's going to reign. Now in verse 2, we read of him, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever." We see that he is the embodiment of truth. In John 14 and 6, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of himself as being the truth. Did you notice, please, in verse 4, "And thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness." These are characteristics of the king. Truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 14 and 6, said unto him, that is Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the truth. Now, it promises in the 45th Psalm, "In thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness." And though we read of his meekness in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Our Lord Jesus was the very embodiment of truth, and he was meek. These are the characteristics of the king. Don't you wonder at such a powerful king having these characteristics? The gentleness of a mother, the gentleness of a child, the gentleness that he gives to the babes. Now we read also that at the same time he is majestic in verse 4. His majesty, that is an awesome word. His majesty struck down the Apostle Paul. You remember on the road to Damascus to incarcerate the Christians? The glory of the Lord appeared to Paul. Or Saul of Tarsus, and that day he was named Paul later. But he was struck down by the glory of that light. And Paul said it was greater than the light of the sun. It was the Shekinah glory of our Lord Jesus. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus." Oh, this is the character of that coming king. And he is righteous. He could say of his enemies, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" That's John 8 and 46. Also, he is declared to be the righteous by the Apostle John. He's to be righteous, rather, not simply a righteous person. He is to be righteousness embodied. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." These are the characters of the king. Don't you wonder at the beauty of the king? Now let's talk about his power. He will remove all opposition. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, we read there, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of that on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, when Satan is bound, that disrupting influence in God's universe, when Satan is bound for 1,000 years, Christ will reign. The very nature of the animal life then he'll change the nature of dangerous animals. In Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verses 6 to 9, we have some of the changes mentioned there. The wolf and the lamb will dwell together. And the leopard and the kid will dwell together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The child will play on the hole of the cockatrice den, and none will hurt in all his holy mountain. Even in that kingdom that's going to come right on this earth, we see the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ conquering even the spirit and dangerous animals. All mankind will enter the kingdom redeemed. We read in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, and verses 45 and 46 rather, and then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall into life eternal. Now this is Matthew chapter 25. And there our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of himself as sitting on that throne in the future. And he's going to divide the sheep from the goats. The sheep are those people that loved him and loved his children. And the goats are going to be that people that did not love the Lord and consequently did not love the Lord and did not love his children. And so consequently, they will be sent to a lost eternity. This is the power of the king to put down all that is against him. Now, the glory of his incarnation is seen in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The glory of it. And then we read in John chapter 2, verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. We see the glory of the Lord Jesus, the glory of his miracles. And then we see the glory of his power over death. In John 11, when Lazarus died, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He let Lazarus die so that he could raise him in front of his disciples. Oh, we see his resurrection glory in John chapter 17 and verse 24. Father, I will also that they whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ is a glorious person. Let's just briefly review. We see the character of the king. We're made to wonder at his gentleness. We see the power of the king, absolute, even to the incarceration of Satan. We see the glory of Christ in that coming day. Our Father, today, help us to worship your dear Son. We pray in his name. Amen.